welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
All right, well, we'll bounce back to last week here real brief. You guys played a Moberly team, and the team was definitely focused from start to finish. So just how nice was it to see the focus level from your team last week?
Again, I thought it was great. I thought that our maturity continues to grow, and that's what we want to see most as the season progresses, and we can stack execution. The effort should be a given, and we look forward to building upon all of those things.
And it seems like you guys are kind of peaking at the right time. I know there's still room for improvement, but just how nice is it to see just the progression of the kids throughout the season so far?
You know, one of the things that we tell the kids is that if you want to play when it's cold, you got to work when it's hot. And with the weather starting to turn cold, this matters a lot to us. That one of our things that we say additionally is seven more days. Right now we're playing because I don't think there's a finer place than to be on a football field after school in the fall when the leaves are changing colors. And you're gifted seven more days at a time if you're successful in the playoffs. And that's what we're working for right now.
So, yeah, now we'll move into the bye week. There's a lot of different things you guys can do with the bye week. So just what's been the main approach to just the time off so far?
We want to continue to grow. It's certainly not anything other than an opportunity for us. Most people in life talk about a shortage of time. And a bye week is an opportunity for us to hit pause and maybe work on some things that we wouldn't be able to otherwise if we were preparing for a specific opponent. We can focus on fundamentals and special teams instead of scheme necessarily.
So what are you going to do with your Friday off?
We're going to work. Listen, we're going to get our fair share of work in, so we'll be here.
All righty, thanks.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells, and I got to assume that Coach Wells is probably pretty happy with the way things went last week because, I mean, if you're mad after a 58-14 win, I guess you're probably mad all the time. But that Moberly win looked like it was pretty easy, so tell me if it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't anything to be mad about. The defense was forcing quite a few negative plays. The number two defense actually forced two turnovers, a fumble that definitely was big question mark on whether that was a fumble or not. Everybody just kind of stopped on the field and the ball was sitting there and they just scooped it up and walked into the end zone. It didn't really look like it was a backwards pass, but that's what the refs called, so that's what we'll roll with. And then Chris Scott came away with a pick on the last drive before they could knee it out. And then on the offensive side of the ball, the running backs just had bus lanes to run through.
Yeah.
I know Rodney had seven carries for 197 yards and a touchdown. Zane Wings had seven carries for like 115 yards and three touchdowns. Garnett had 70 more, something like that. They rushed for over 480 yards as a team. So it was pretty easy going all game. It was just explosive plays in the running game. Like Rodney's 95-yard touchdown run. He had a 50-yard run before half. They only had negative two passing yards. So it was one of those things where they threw three passes the entire game. They knew they didn't need to do it,
right.
So they didn't do it.
Okay.
It was about the second possession of the game where you kind of were looking and it's like, okay, this is going to get out of hand very quickly. And I mean, credit to them. The focus level was there. They didn't look down on their opponent and they showed up to play, and that's exactly what they did.
So it gets the Jays to 5-4 on the season. They've been at 500 a couple times since then, but they've never been above 500 since week one when they were 1-0. So I got to imagine this is kind of something that, you know, they like to be at this point. They've now won two in a row, so I got to imagine the focus is let's keep this going. Well, now the only problem is you've got to buy this week, so you can't keep this going. But the good thing is you got to the point where you've earned yourself the second seed in district, so you got yourself a bye this week. So I guess it's a kind of a good news, bad news scenario. The good news is, you know what? You're in a good situation right now. bad news is you got to kind of sit and watch everybody else play this week.
Yeah, and I asked Coach Wells. It's like, okay, some coaches aren't a fan of a bye week at this point in the season. Like I said last week, I've never really understood that thought process. I feel like a bye always helps, and he's under the same impression. He's happy to have the bye week. It's a week to evaluate yourself. It's a week to work on some things in practice, and more importantly, it's a week to watch your possible opponent next week and dive into that film a little bit more and maybe find some things that you couldn't and maybe a 2 or 3 day, 4 day preparation. So, yeah, I mean, it's a week to just kind of self-reflect, and it is the first 2-game winning streak of the season for the Jays, so that's a positive. Like you mentioned, first time over 500 since week one. So, yeah, it's just a week to kind of, I think, self-evaluate is what I would put at the top of the priority list.
So if we're looking at the bracket, top seed ends up going to Hannibal, which we kind of all figured that was going to be the case. Their side of the bracket, they'll get the winner of today's game between Warrenton and North Point. So, you know, it's that's something that we don't have to worry about those teams on that side of the bracket. As far as the J side sets up, they're the 2 seed. They got a bye as well. They'll get the winner of Kirksville-Wittenfield this week. So I got to imagine that it's going to be all the Jays coaches in full force out to watch this one in person. I know that, you know, everybody kind of has different ways of how they do things, but I got to assume that one big advantage that coaches probably don't talk about as much, but I think when you do get that bye, it just gives you the opportunity to yes, you've seen a lot of these teams on tape or you can get tape on them and you can figure out stuff that you can look at off of huddle. That's great, but there's nothing's better than the eye test. Go see somebody in person. Go see what they do. Go see what they like to do. See all their pre-snap, all their post-snap, all the other stuff they do. I got to imagine this is just going to be a good week for them to go, hey, we'll never be as prepared for somebody probably as we will this week when we're have nothing to do but focus on this game.
Yeah, watching a team in person is 100% different. You hit that right on the head. And a lot of the times, it's you see how big these kids actually are. Like, I know the Rockbridge game, it was kind of a surprise. You showed up, and it's like, oh, this team's big.
Right.
Like, real, real big.
Right.
I don't know if that'll be the case with Kirksville by any means, but yeah, you get to go there. You can kind of evaluate how the coaches handle things during a game in real time. Just see how the sideline looks and just pick up tendencies and stuff like that. And yeah, I assume that they said they're going to watch the game. I assume that means in person. So yeah, they'll probably be there tonight and trying to pick up anything that might help them next week in that matchup.
To me, I think sometimes it's just the most interesting thing for me as a fan of teams sometimes with that bye week is just to see whether or not it's just the coaches who go watch the game or if the coaches bring all their players. Because I've seen it happen both ways many a time for other teams where it's just like, yep, sometimes you'll be watching a game and in walks a whole team with somebody to watch somebody that they might face the next week. Sometimes the coaches are like, we don't want the players anywhere near this. Keep them home. We'll tell them what they need to know. So to me, I think sometimes that's the most interesting thing that comes out of bye weeks is just who shows up to watch those games of their future opponents.
Yeah, I'm not sure if any players are going. I could definitely see how that could be kind of not necessarily a distraction, just kind of a pain to you know, handle some high school kids and make sure their attention spans stay long enough on the game. But yeah, I know the coaches are going, but I could definitely see how taking a few players could be an asset. But I guess we'll see. I'll ask him about that next week.
So you mentioned the fact that, yeah, this is the first, you know, kind of time that we've had a winning streak for the Jays in the season. It has kind of really been kind of one of those kind of up and down and up and down, and you never knew what was coming from week to week. How does both from your perspective and maybe from coach's perspective, how do we think about maybe the Jays, you know, mental focus at this point to the point where now we do have things kind of going in the right direction? You obviously want to kind of keep this thing trending that direction as long as possible, but sometimes it can be just kind of a chore to keep these guys focused and go, okay, well, we've got to bounce back this week. And then they've been able to do that a lot of times where it's like, okay, we get a bounce back win. Well, then we get a loss, then we get a win. Sometimes it can be draining just going, guys, let's get this going in the right direction. So now that they've got it going in the right direction, how likely is it to kind of continue trending in that direction?
It seems like there's starting to be some sort of consistency with this Jays team. Like you mentioned early in the season, it was kind of two different Jays teams, and you didn't know which one was going to show up on a particular Friday. And now, like, even in the losses, it's still kind of the same brand of football that you're seeing. The offense obviously has its MO, and they're starting to throw the football more, so you kind of know what you're going to get from the offense, and the defense is going to give up some yards, they're going to give up some points, but over the past month, I would say they're making plays consistently. They'll make two or three big plays in every game where it's like, okay, like you see the potential, but you're kind of getting the overall product is beginning to become the same every week, and that's not necessarily a great thing because you kind of do want to improve, but it's also not necessarily a bad thing because the product isn't a terrible product. So,
sure.
Getting that consistency is definitely going to help with, you know, you get maybe your first win next week in the postseason, then you could start to build off that, and all of a sudden that's a 3-game winning streak, and that can turn into a 4, and then all of a sudden that starts piling up. Not saying that's going to happen, obviously, just consistency can lead to some good things, that's
sure.
For sure.
Absolutely. So the biggest thing that I think when you get to the end of the regular season is you want to have all hands on deck for the playoffs. It's utmost importance to have the guys that you want to go to war with. You have those guys so that you can do that. How is the health of the Jays right now? How are we set up for maybe a stretch run? Because again, it can be a thing where sometimes where you go, okay, yeah, we were great 2 weeks ago, and now we're in trouble. We were great till last week. Now we're in trouble. How are things setting up just in terms of, are we going to have all hands on deck for as the postseason begins for them next week?
Yeah, there's some bumps and bruises for sure, but that's what this bye week's for. So they're definitely expecting the team to be at full strength next Friday or a week from today. So, the kids that need the rest this week have gotten that, and the kids that didn't need it aren't getting that.
Right.
So they're in a good spot health-wise, and they expect to be come next Friday too.
This would normally be the point of the podcast where I ask you a prediction on how the Jays are going to do this week. We know how the Jays are going to do this week. They're not going to play this week. But I will ask you, who do you think the Jays will play next week? So who comes out on top, Kirksville or Winfield?
Yeah, I mean, there's not too much that I've seen online to research for really either of the teams. But we saw Kirksville play Capital City last week. That obviously did not go well for them. But there's two common opponents between Kirksville and Winfield. And Kirksville is beat both teams, and Winfield has lost to both teams.
Okay.
So transitive property is telling me that Kirksville is going to win this game. So I will predict it to be, you know, a little bit closer than maybe the numbers would say for the whole season's product, just because it's postseason football. So I'll say 35-21, Kirksville.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.